Good morning, honorable members. Good morning to the DM and everyone present in the meeting. The time is 9 o'clock, and the chairperson is still struggling to get connection. So he's still trying to drive around looking for connection. He has asked Honorable Ndongeni to start the meeting in the meantime. So I'm handing over to her. Thank you. Morning, members. Morning, DM. Morning, staff. Morning, officials. I'm sorry, I can't open my video. I have a load shedding.
Recording in progress.
We're going to have a load shedding at this time. I'm sorry for that. Otherwise, my name is Nokozola Ndongeni. Can you tell us about, okay, can you flag the agenda? Tando? Tando? Oh, okay. Hey, go say kwa quiet, man, as if in a tea. And if you. New Satando can name Ipela Umpako opening and welcoming. Even go adoption of the agenda only. Oh, thank you. Members, here is the agenda. Can someone ask? Who adopt the agenda?
Press 1.
Call Ms. Polo.
Hello, Chairperson.
Yes.
Good morning to you.
Morning.
To your good self and all members present in the meeting, I move for the adoption of the agenda, Honorable Chair. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Nkosi. Any seconder?
I second. Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Rituli, about that. Okay, Tando, let's go to apologies. Any apologies?
Yes, Chair, I've got two apologies. One apology is from the minister. He apologized that he won't be able to attend the meeting. And he, due to the fact that he's attending a cabinet meeting, he has requested the deputy minister to lead the delegation. The second apology I have is from Ms. Rebecca Maserumule. She's the DDG for Technology Innovation. She's on an official travel abroad, and she has requested the acting DDG, Mr. Ben Deham, to attend on her behalf. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Tando. Okay, Deputy Minister. Morning, Deputy Minister.
Morning, Chairperson.
Thank you. Can you please brief us, or are you going to start?
Yes, let me start.
Hey, I'm in now.
Head over to welcome Chairperson. I can start, or maybe do we want the chair to settle first?
Yes, let's Chairperson take the seat. Okay.
Yes, yeah. No, great. Yeah, the line is fixed now.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, what? Yes.
Let's go clap our hands on that.
Yeah. You had already started the meeting, was it?
Yes, Chair.
Okay, no thanks. All right. So you may continue if there was somebody. Yeah. Good morning to the department and the ministry. You may continue with the presentation. Sorry for my hiccups with the network.
All right. Thank you, Chairperson. Those are the limits imposed by technology on our democracy. So, but we really appreciate this this opportunity, Chairperson, to brief you and the select committee on our annual report. And this is the report for the Department of Science and Innovation for the financial year 2020-2021. And I think as we all know that the annual report is an important instrument with which as a department we account to Parliament for the commitments that we've made in the previous year. But it also enables us to assess the extent to which we have achieved our stated objectives in that particular annual report, and probably also help us work out mechanisms to respond to those aspects of our performance that needs improving. And I think we rely heavily on Parliament, particularly the Select Committee, in giving us feedback, in helping us assess our work, but also in pointing out some of the critical areas that we may have overlooked, and also to build into the planning process for the financial year 2020, into the continuing financial year. The period under review, Chairperson, we have gone through major structural and policy changes, which includes two key policy instruments. And those policy instruments include our White Paper on Science and Technology in 2019, but also our decadal plan in 2021. And so informed by the impact of COVID-19 pandemic and the need to carry out our mandate within this context of government's economic recovery and reconstruction plan for the period under review, what we've basically sought to do is to make our national system of innovation much more agile, much more responsive to some of our country's most urgent needs. And this includes, if I can, just go through some of them. I think importantly, overcoming the pandemic itself. Secondly, a massive rollout of infrastructure led by government, substantial increase in local production, and employment stimulus to create jobs and support livelihoods. And I think also importantly, the expansion of the country's energy generation capacity. So as part of making a national system of innovation much more responsive to the social challenges of our society, what we have sought to increase our focus on accelerated knowledge, digital and innovation drive, inclusive sustainable economic, socio-economic development. And so in this regard, our key focus for the years ahead would be, climate change. Secondly, future-proofing education and skills. Thirdly, I think reindustrializing the modern economy and future of our society, as well as health innovation and energy innovation. So those are the critical areas, the four critical areas that we believe we will have to be focusing on in the years ahead. And so the detail of what we've achieved, the challenges we've encountered, and how we sought to respond to them will be provided in the presentation that the committee is going to be receiving today. And our presentation, Chair, is divided into two sections. we highlight the performance of the department for the financial year 2021-2022. And the second section provides a brief outline of the department's projects. And so to give members of the select committee a deeper sense of the department's performance for the period 2021-2022, we want to focus on the following in the presentation, as you would have noted. The Department of Science and Innovation's outcome goals, the key achievements per the Department of Science and Innovation's outcomes goals, and also the performance highlights, and then we'll also cover the overall performance, and then finally the financial performance. And so thank you for this opportunity, Chair. I would also then like to extend I would like to invite our DDG to lead us with regards to this presentation. And I think at the end of it, we would be glad to receive questions and engage with members of the portfolio committee in this regard. Thank you very much, Chairperson, and I'll hand over to the department officials to start with the presentation.
Good morning, Chairperson and honorable members. My name is Kuku Zwane. I am the DDG responsible for institutional planning and support and currently acting DG. So I would be presenting the annual report for 2021-22 in my role, in my acting capacity as the DG. Can I please request the sharing rights from the administrator, please, so that I can project the presentation. Thank you. I am still unable to share.
Lantando, can you give those who are going to present the sharing rights?
It's sorted now. May I ask if it's visible?
Yes.
Can you see the
button?
Okay.
Yes, it is.
Okay, thank you.
It is visible.
Thanks. So this is the presentation of the DSI for the annual report 2021-2022, as already introduced by the Deputy Minister. Our presentation outline will look at our outcomes goals and then look at the key achievements under those outcome goals. We would also highlight our performance, pick up a few highlights for the said period, and we would look at the matrix in terms of our overall performance. I would then hand over to the CFO, Mr. Shaku, to then take us through the financial performance of the department before we conclude. These are our six outcome goals, just to recap, that we aim for a transformed, inclusive, responsive, coordinated, and efficient national system of innovation. We are looking at human capabilities and skills for the economy and for development. We look at increased knowledge generation and innovation outputs, knowledge utilization for economic development, knowledge utilization for inclusive development, as well as innovation in support of a capable and developmental state. The presentation is divided into two, as already indicated. We look at our performance highlights and also our footprint within the country of the DSI projects. We perhaps may not go into detail of this, but we'll pick up a few. In terms of our performance as a department, we had 52 targets in total, of which we achieved 48, giving us a 92% achievement rate for the year. We could not achieve 4 of the targets that were set for ourselves, and that is 8%. We also can continue to achieve a clean audit outcome as a department. Under outcome one, the transformed, inclusive, responsive, and coherent NSI, in terms of the decadal plan, we have that cabinet approval. A lot has since happened as well in the current financial year as far as that is concerned. Here, we were still saying that we are in the process of finalizing the decadal plan with consultations and the final draft being prepared. We have gone past that step as we speak now, and probably we will report that when we come to report for 22-23 in terms of the progress there. We have had dedicated meetings with several of our stakeholders, including our own senior managers and executives who are now driving the implementation of the decadal plan. The M&E framework for the NSI, we supported the National Council Advisory Council on Innovation on a workshop that they hosted with national experts and relevant officials to start developing indicators to measure socio-economic impacts of the decadal plan. This is seen as quite important so that over time we are able to see whether we are making any impact or progress as far as the decadal plan is concerned to the greater South African community. We also looked at the role of STI to address women empowerment and gender equality in climate change. There was an address delivered by the minister to the 66th session of commissions on the status of women in the United Nations headquarters last year. In terms of capacity building around the women empowerment and gender equality, as well as the gender responsive learning, budgeting, monitoring, evaluation, and auditing framework, we have included initiatives in the decadal plan to make sure that we institutionalize formal planning and budgeting process for women empowerment and gender equality. Progress has been made on the strategic framework on gender within the national system of innovation. We are at an advanced stage of discussing of finalizing the draft at this moment. And we have also gone on to train several officials in gender mainstreaming, as well as our own senior management and officials within our entities, so that they are responsive, and we make sure that time and again we have updates and sessions that we attend with the Department of Women, Youth and People with Disabilities. Under outcome two, which is human capabilities and skills for the economy and for development, here we are showcasing the achievements for the year in terms of the National Development Plan, human capital development in addressing South Africa's unemployment, poverty and inequality challenges. The department has in the past year managed to have the beneficiaries as reflected. BTEC honors and master's students, 5,643. We then break down this number to then show how many of these are Black, how many are women, how many are Black women, how many are people with disabilities, and how many of them are South Africans. Also, doctoral students, we've achieved 2,527. We've then broken it down transactionally as displayed, and then the total number is 8,170. The interns within the system are 1,194. So we've also broken it down there. As displayed, though, I think on the negative is that about the interns, we do not necessarily have ones that are disabled. The internship program is a workplace preparation program that places undergraduate and postgraduate students in work environments to gain experience. As a department, we also our own uptake is 35 over a period of 2 years. Under outcome three, increased knowledge generation and innovation outputs. These is the research grants awarded for the financial year under review, of which a total of 3,201, of which 1,883, which is 58.8%, went to Black researchers, and 46% of that went to women. The department through the NRF awarded 36 research infrastructure grant, and then we 9,116 peer-reviewed research articles were published by our funded by the researchers that are funded by the DSI, and those can be found in the Web of Science Citation Database. As far as IK Indigenous knowledge systems are concerned, we had the first national consultation workshop, which was organized by the department in partnership with the Northwest University, which was to launch the Indigenous knowledge registration system. This also happened last year. It was launched under the theme of promoting our Indigenous knowledge, securing our tomorrow's treasures, which provides the premise for how the system will be used to enable social cohesion along with the growth of an inclusive economy. The progress has been made on the regulations relating to protection, promotion, development and management of Indigenous knowledge, which there was an approval by the minister to submit a report on the strides that the department have made with respect to IKS in driving innovation and its positive impact on economic growth, and also a publication of regulations relating to the protection, promotion, development and management of Indigenous knowledge for public comment. The minister approved those. The South Africa's mRNA vaccine technology transfer hub has successfully manufactured the vaccines at a lab scale based on publicly available scientific data. The aim of the hub is to diversify vaccine manufacturing and specifically accelerate vaccine production in the continent, also to develop a training facility where mRNA technology is developed to the scale required for mass production of vaccines. Also, it has initiated the first phase of training mRNA vaccine manufacturers from South Africa, Argentina, and Brazil. This as well has advanced a bit over the current financial year since this report. We also launched the innovation cluster of the BioPanzer initiative, which aims to commercialize South African natural indigenous products. And in terms of agricultural bioeconomy innovation partnership program, we invested in projects contributing to the growth of competitiveness of the sector. And as far as agro-processing in rural communities and farmer development, 845 Black emerging farmers benefited from the technology and support programs of the Agricultural Bioeconomy Innovation Partnership Program. 80% of the beneficiaries are women, with 20% being youth. In the Masia village, there is a deployment project, the rooftop installation of the photovoltaic system of their multi-purpose center in Limpopo province was completed as well last year. The aim is to support agricultural activities such as crop production, harvesting, storage and processing, and in partnership with the Vembe district municipality. Also, SAPRIN began a multi-nodal study in March funded by the United Nations Population Fund on improving adolescents' reproductive health in rural South Africa, especially since the periods of lockdown for COVID-19 pandemic protection. Under the SEED Fund program, 8 IP rights were filed and 36 prototypes and 9 technology demonstrations were developed. A media lab at Mopotwa Secondary School in Vembe was launched on 8 December 2021 by the Deputy Minister. This project comprises of a containerized media lab with 30 computers powered by solar photovoltaic energy and an MLT inverter. This also contributes towards the future proof of education and skills under the societal grand challenges of the decadal plan. MLT inverter received financial support from the department to develop a control system for its inverter. There is a project which is the Municipality Innovation Maturity Index, which is a platform of enhancing the innovation capabilities of municipalities to stimulate and support innovation for improved service delivery. This was successfully launched in July 2021 with support from 149 municipal stakeholders in attendance. And in search of innovation-based system to improve the delivery of human settlement, we have supported the demonstration of 3D printing of houses using additive manufacturing technologies. I am sure the members have seen this as it has been in the news recently. The DSI has also designed and is funding the Innovation Champions for LED program implementation. There is the Young Innovation Champion are placed in LED offices and universities to support municipalities in introducing new ways of local economic development planning, such as mapping local innovation landscapes using the Local Innovation Advancement Toolkit developed by one of our entities, the HSRC and the DSI. Under outcome 6, innovation of support of in support of a capable and developmental state, this is just highlighting the district development model, the processes that are ongoing selection of current high impact and responsive initiatives. This is kind of like DSI and DSI entities database of the district development model officially submitted to the Department of Cooperative Governance. We have also the second phase of which highlights the municipal application summary. There's a total number and those that were recommended and those that were rejected. We also have a process three where the DDM as a platform for inclusive innovation and implementation of the decadal plan initiatives. The focus areas of the decadal plan that we think should be implemented in the district development model, which we've extracted from the decadal plan as listed, such as your innovation compact, your strategic management model, innovation fund, action plan, and so on, which are being zoomed in into a municipal level. Okay, this is the DDM model projects nationally. I won't go through that, but it does show what is happening where within the country. And the graph is just showing how many projects are there per province. In terms of international cooperation and resources, under the BRICS Vaccine Research and Development Center was launched. This center seeks to pool complementary advantages of the BRICS countries in vaccine research and development, and it will also prioritize joint research among researchers and institutions from BRICS countries. And the NANT SA, a division of the NANT Works, was launched as well. A new vaccine plant in Cape Town, supported by South African born US billionaire who had committed $195 to the South African operations. Leveraging opportunities, program 3 and 5 within the DSI joined forces to assist the South African National Designated Entity by hosting the for Climate Change Technology Center and Network Information Sessions, which were their aim was to promote and increase the uptake of the Climate Technology Center and network opportunities by relevant South African stakeholders. Then out of that, we have had 3 proposals that were approved with a cumulative value of $150,000. In terms of human capital development, we entered into an agreement with the International Center for Engineering and Biotechnology, ICGB, to support the South African Women in Biotechnology program. In support of a development state, research on the prevalence of trafficking in persons co-funded by the USAID was concluded in March. The research results prove new evidence based on information on some of the most vulnerable people of our country. It is also crucial information in policy responses to eliminate the communities vulnerable to trafficking. There is a consultation process with the National Intersectoral Committee on Trafficking in Persons that has commenced. Performance overview of our entities. We are seeing an improved KPI performance on 6 entities compared to 2020-2021, while 2 have regressed. And then we also noted that while the HSRC's performance has improved dramatically by the highest margin It is also the only entity that got a qualified audit outcome. We are, as a department, generally satisfied with our entity's annual reports. This table then shows the performance of our entities, 8 of them. As you can see, there are improved percentages in terms of performance information. However, also noting the HSRC, that while their achievement was very high, they also had one issue. It was around leave credits. The way that it had been handled resulted in a qualified audit. Otherwise, generally, as a department, we are happy and we continue to encourage the entities to maintain the status quo and keep on improving in terms of how they perform. And then we are now going to go through the unachieved targets, which was 4 of them. These are the reasons that normally are given. Sometimes it's a process delay where the factors that are causing the non-achievement are not within the department's control. It is dependent on outside stakeholders. This then indicates that we need to manage better in the way that we craft our targets, and they are interdependent on other people or other stakeholders to be delivered. Then the ineffectiveness of implementers refer to the non-achievement due to deficiencies during the implementation phase. This means that we require to better manage the planning of our targets to be aligned to the entity's targets to ensure that they are working towards achieving a common goal. Then the last one would be target formulation deficiencies, which is a non-achievement due to variables which were not foreseen during the target formulation phase. These gaps can be addressed during the strategic planning process of the following financial year or as part of lessons learned. So we have 4 that were not achieved. The annual target here was 32 capacity building initiatives for international cooperation, specifically targeting historically disadvantaged institutions and individuals by 31st March 2022. We only managed to achieve 24 out of the 32. The reason there is that a holistic strategic approach was not emphasized to the inclusion of historically disadvantaged institutions in its engagement on international opportunities. So we have noted this and are going to do better next time in making sure that everyone that is on board. Then the next one is 6,200 pipeline postgraduate students awarded bursary annually as reflected in the NRF and other relevant entities. Here we achieved 5,643. The performance fell short of the targets by 8.9%. I think here we've also deliberated and agreed that it's not easy to make accurate projections of the number of PhD students versus the pipeline students to be supported. As such, numbers are ultimately dependent on the demand, the number of applications in each category. Then here we have set ourselves that we would achieve 392 high-level research students fully funded and co-funded in designated niche areas. However, we only achieved 287. These niche areas would be your advanced manufacturing, aerospace, chemicals, mining, advanced metals, ICTs, and the Industry Innovation Program. Significant funds from the technology development projects were allocated to technology diffusion projects, hence affecting the achievement of this particular target. There were also challenges in terms of verifying the number of students. It's something that we are working on as well to do better next time. Then the last one was the pre-approval decisions provided within 90 days from date of receipt for 80% of the applications for R&D tax incentives received between during the financial year. The pre-approval we got 54% instead of the targeted 80 because of the quality of information received from applicants, which would be problematic, which would need to go back for verification and so on. And also a lack of automation as well as staff shortages have an effect on the monitoring and processing of applications. We have in the current financial year improved on this, even introducing an automated system within the department. Then the next section is some sampled DSI projects within province. I would take this as read by the members because it's quite a long list. And we are just showing the name of the province, the name of the project, as well as the project in brief, what it sets out to do. There is quite a number of them, and all provinces are covered. Probably the most important ones for us for the particular financial year would be the vaccine technology, as we can see here, BioVac and mRNA vaccine technology, transfer hub. We have your strategic bio-innovation programs, which is cross-cutting for several provinces for in total. I will just not go through all of them, but we've given quite a number, and this also shows the map of OTT support funds agreements across the country, and those that are ongoing in partnership with institutions of higher education that we have. So I will now ask the CFO to take us through from here. I will control on your behalf, Robert. Thank you. Over to you.
Thanks, Dr. DG. And morning, members of Select Committee. Morning, Honorable Chair. Morning, Deputy Minister. And morning, DSI colleagues. I'm going to share with you the performance of the department as far as finances are concerned for the financial year ended 2021-2022. For 2021-2022, the department was appropriated 5 million, included in what the department has is the donor fund of 69 million, and we also managed to get revenue of 1 million. All in all, we had 9 billion 75 million for the financial year. Our total expenditure for the financial year was 9 billion 21 million. It is made up of 8 billion 962, and also 59 million that was made in relation to donor funds. And we had the variance of 53 million, which was made up of 3,595,000, which is 0.5% of the appropriated funds, and also we couldn't spend 9 million from the donor funds that we received. The details of this information I will share with you in the performance and the programs and current classification sections. Next slide, please. In terms of economic classification, under compensation, the department was allocated 363,322,000. Under goods and services, the department was allocated 158,556,000. Under transfers and subsidies, the department was allocated 8,470,925,000. Under payment for capital assets, we were allocated 12,731,000. And under payment for financial assets, we only had 100,000. Next slide, please. The department, as we've indicated, I mean, we plan to spend the whole amount, but we couldn't spend. We only spent 99.5% of the adjusted budget, which translates to a 0.5% variance, or 44 million that we couldn't spend. Next slide, please. In terms of performance, administration, as I've indicated, it was allocated 328. It only managed to spend 304,454,000. It has a variance of 7.3%. Technology innovation, which is program 2, was allocated 1,725,000 and only managed to spend 1,719,000, which is a 0.3% variance, which is 5 million in terms of monetary terms. International Cooperation and Resources, which is ICR, Program 3, it was allocated 136 million. We only managed to spend 131 million, which is for a variance of 4.4 million, or 3.3%. Under Research, Development and Support, which is Program 4, we were allocated 4,995,000,000. We only managed to spend 4,991,000. We had a variance of 3 million in the program, which is 0.1%. Under Socioeconomic Innovation Partnerships, Program 5, we were allocated 1,820,000,000. We only managed to spend 1,814,000,000, which is 6 million variance, or 0.3%. And next slide, please. We have also provided information graphically for ease of reference to the members, but it's the same as I have just indicated under the program where it is indicated on the tabular form. Next slide, please. Under economic classification, compensation was allocated 363. We only managed to spend 332,000,000. We couldn't spend 30,000,000, which is 8.4%. Under goods and services, we were allocated 158,000,000, as I've indicated. We only managed to spend 152,000,882, which is 5,724,000 variance, or 3.6%. Under transfers and subsidies, we were allocated 8,470,925,000. We only managed to spend 8,467,424, which is 3.498 variance. This one, because the variance was not that huge, it shows as if there was nothing. It was if you round up the figures, you only get zeros. But in terms of monetary terms, we couldn't spend 3 million. And the payment for capital assets, we were allocated 12,731,000. We only managed to spend 8,941,000. We couldn't spend 3,790,000. And the reason for that variance will be explained further in the presentation. And the payment for financial assets, we had 100,000, we spent 92,000, we couldn't spend 88,000. Next slide, please. Also under this one, we have depicted it in terms of tabular for ease of reference, in terms of graphic presentation for ease of reference. Next slide, please. The reason for variances, under compensation, there were delays in filling of prioritized positions. But as we speak now, the department is fast-tracking and filling of positions. Most of the positions have been filled. And under payment for capital assets, the delay was as a result of the finalization of the procurement process. However, we managed to secure funding internally in the current financial year to pay for the iPads. So there was no any impact to the department as far as not paying this in the prior financial year is concerned. Next slide, please. We also made payments for COVID-related expenses. We paid 41 million for money that was paid for SHIP, Strategic Health Innovation Partnership, for quite various reasons, that diagnostic, prevention and treatment, and sequencing, and also for the implementation of social science outreach, communication, dissemination, and impact program for Africa. Under goods and services, we only spent 27,000, which was for the contamination of the building, buying of food petals and masks. Next slide, please. We have also shared with the committee the highest spending items. Under communication, we spent significantly as compared to the prior year. There was a 13% difference. This is due to officials working remotely using a lot of our communication gadgets, data, and including cell phones. As a result, the spending was significantly higher there. Under computer services as well, the spending was high. It was due to the bandwidth that we procured for officials to be able to work from home. And then also because some of our positions were not filled, because we only prioritized those positions that are key, we had to make use of employment agencies. As a result, spending there also increased. Next slide, please. We have also indicated high spending items under the transfers. Our parliamentary grants are always the higher spending items. For Academy of Science of South Africa, we spent 33 million. For Council for Scientific and Industrial Research, we spent 978,449. For Women's Science Research Council, we spent 314,394. For National Research Foundation, we spent 962,587. For South African National Space Agency, we spent 202,193,000. For Technology Innovation Agency, we spent 447,103,000. And then higher spending items, Human Resource Development, we spent 1,021,488,000. Research and Development Infrastructure, we spent 758,280,000. Square Kilometer Array, we spent 1,018,174,000. And South African Research Chairs Initiative, we spent 588,550,000. Next slide, please. As I've indicated, they're not spending on the items I've indicated. They did not have any impact in the department. For the assets I've indicated, we managed to shift funds from low spending areas to pay for the assets that we were to pay in the prior financial year. And with regard to positions, we are using the employment agencies. But in areas where we don't have, as we have always indicated, not filling position will have an impact on officials who are doing some of the positions that they are not able to do the particular activities. So they are overloaded. As a result, it will have an impact on officials. But generally, everything, we are able to manage everything with the capacity that we have. Next slide, please. We are also having financial pressures on a few areas. Under Square Kilometer Array, for the next few years, we are going to need 2.7 billion. We have made an application to the National Treasury with regard to this. And also under capitalization of Innovation Fund, we need 500 million. And the building upgrade, we are intending to upgrade the building. Currently, our building is not habitable. If it is winter, it is very, very cold. If it's summer, it's very, very hot. And when it is raining, it is flooding. So we want to upgrade the building to ensure that the officials can be able to work in an environment which is conducive for work. So for that, we need 197 million over 3 years. We have managed to secure funding internally for the current, for 2022-23 financial year. But also, we are going to make plans to secure funding for 2023-24 and 2024-25. And also for the implementation of the catalytic hydrogen projects, we need 50 million there. And then for regional space weather, we also need 50 million. Some of these we managed to secure funding from slow spending item. We have been sharing with the committee that we are a bit strict now when it comes to projects or the entities that are not spending the money that was allocated to them. So if the entities are not spending, we no longer just transfer the money. We want the cost. They must indicate that they have got the capacity to spend. If they don't have the capacity to spend, we don't transfer the money. We delay transferring the money until their spending improves. As a result, some of the funding that we don't transfer, we use it to fund some of the areas where we do have financial pressures. As I've indicated, we have requested funding from the National Treasury for Space Infrastructure Hub. We are given part of the funding from the National Treasury, including the funding that we have requested for Square Kilometre Array. Next slide, please. The funding pressures, I understand some. members will see that all our entities, they are indicating one thing, that the allocation that they are getting is not sufficient. So that is the challenge that we are having. The allocation that we are getting is not sufficient. It's not catering for some of the things that we want to do. So most of the challenges they've indicated is as a result of that, not having adequate funding from the allocation from a government. And next slide, please. Next slide, please. As the DDG indicated earlier, we have obtained for 2021-22, and for the past 3 years, 2019-20, 2020-21, also we obtained clean audit outcome, and we are intending to continue with the with that way of getting a clean audit outcome. Next slide, please. We have also shared some of the audit findings that we had. One of the finding that was raised by AQ was that our service desk procedures is not adequate. We are happy to inform and to report that the procedure for the service desk was approved in November to address the areas that AG had indicated are of weakness. And also the system controller for the logistical system, we have also updated the procedure with regard to that to ensure that all the areas that AG has raised are addressed. And also when it comes to review of the health risk rights, we are doing that. We are ensuring that the access rights to the users are done regularly as it should. Next slide, please. Also, the AG raised concern with the adequacy of the review of the rights on the basic accounting system, which we updated the procedure for the system, and also we have introduced new measures to ensure that the rights of the users and including the Cisco are adequately reviewed to ensure that everything goes as it should. There is no any unwanted or unauthorized actions on the system. And then my next slide, please. I think this one I've talked about it. With regard to the number of artisans, this one was addressed. There was a difference in terms of the numbers, but they were addressed during the audit. With regard to non-compliance with the Broad-Based Black Economic Empowerment Act, AG said we don't have a certificate. We, as we've indicated in the past, we managed to get the service provider to do an assessment. In November last year, the certificate was issued and it was shared with the BBBEE Commission. Next slide, please. We did not incur irregular expenditure in 2021-22, and we don't have any up to now. We are hoping to keep that that way until the audit is concluded. The irregular expenditures that we have emanates from the prior years. We have referred them to the National Treasury for condonement. National Treasury has introduced new measures. Last week, we had a meeting where they introduced another process to deal with irregular expenditures. We will address this in terms of the new framework to ensure that they are removed from our financial statements. Next slide, please. Next slide, please. We have also shared how we are doing in terms of payment of our invoices. For the financial year that ended, we managed to pay 99.9% of all our invoices. There was only one period where we couldn't pay because the service providers sent an invoice before the training was completed. The invoice was not paid. But generally, we managed to pay all our invoices within 30 days as required. Next slide, please. We also shared our performance in terms of paying to human youth and people with disabilities. Our total procurement was 70,811,000. And from small, medium, and micro enterprises, we spent 81,587,000. From black company, owned companies, we spent 55,030,000. From women-owned companies, we spent 22,048,000. From youth-owned companies, we spent 10,191,000. And from people with disabilities, we spent 840,000. In terms of percentages, from black-owned companies, from small, medium, and macro enterprises, we spent 44.6%. Black-owned companies, we spent 77.7%. Women-owned companies, we spent 31.1%. Youth-owned companies, we spent 14.4%. And people with disabilities, we spend 1.2. We are still lagging behind in terms of how we would want to perform in this, particularly under the youth, but we are working on that to ensure that going forward, we procure more from people with disabilities as we require in terms of our procurement strategy. Next slide, please. That is the end of the presentation. Thanks. I will hand over to you, DBG. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. Back to you. This is our presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the presentation. You really make us proud because this department, you've been getting clean audits for quite some time. And yeah, just keep it up. I just want to say, honourable members, I wasn't in when the meeting started because of the network challenges, and I'm trying to switch on my video. You can see it's not, it has its own challenges. today we're meeting for the first time since we have lost our member, Honorable Gillian, who belonged to this committee. And I was just checking with the members if there was any moment of silence, just to in her honor. And also, as a way of saying, this is for the first time that on our attendance register will not have her name anymore on our attendance register. So let's take a moment of silence. Just in honor and thanking her for her contributions towards making us, to be where we are now. Thank you very much. May her soul rest in peace. Honorable members, there's the presentation from the department. And like I said, that you really been doing very well over many years as the Department of Science and Innovation Division. I just want to check how far did you get the condonation from National Treasury for the regular expenditure emanating from the previous years. You haven't had any fruitless and wasteful expenditure in the years under review, but there were others carried over from the last years. I think it's 7.861 million. I just want to know what the progress with that. because of the, you know, the network, and I think I've missed something on the Decadal plan. If we could be brief, maybe, I mean, you know, I didn't hear a thing there because of the network. If we could be briefed on how far we in the implementation of that, how is it, you know, going to assist in the district, you know, development model and other. Honourable members, the meeting is open for us to engage. So I'll look at the and see the raise of hands. I can see you, Honourable Lutuli, followed by Christians, and then Honourable Baha, in that order. So, Madanduna.
Thank you, Chairperson, and greetings to everyone. Chairperson, on slide 22, we noted that there's an increased knowledge generation and innovation output through the seed fund program. SIP rights were filled in the year under the review, and 36 prototype and 9 technology demonstrations were developed. Were any of these a result of the TVET awareness session on IP? And the Chairperson, on slide 10, through the NRV, awarded 36 research infrastructure grant. Please, can the department please share further details concerning the 36 research grant, along with each trans provincial footprint. I will come back for the second by Chairperson.
Let me thanks, Honorable Lutfut. You know, Jim, we had a meeting yesterday with the Department of Health, and a question was asked about collaboration between yourselves and the Department of Health, particularly in the research towards vaccines, ARVs, and all other, you know, diseases that are plaguing our country. What's the collaboration with the Department of Health? Are we making any progress in doing this? And of course, the other is, how do we link with the Department of Energy and also the new Ministry of Electricity? What are points of collaboration with them? And is there progress, you know, in terms of solving the problems of the electricity in South Africa? Because, you know, our hope is with you. As the Department of Science and Innovation, we're waiting for you to make those innovations and rescue this country. I was reading something about Zimbabwe just some weeks ago. That Zimbabwe now, they've stopped exporting lithium. Now they are using it in their country now, you know, to generate energy and to storage. What are the learnings for us from Zimbabwe, you know? And that there is no longer load shedding in Zimbabwe. So if Zim can do it, why can't we? I'm just trying to check what are the collaboration with us as the center, as the Department of Science and Innovation. We should be at the center driving these things or giving direction. Next on the line was the Honorable Christians. And then Christians, Honorable Baha, Ndongeni, and then Honorable Mkosi.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Just to the department, can you provide an update on the progress of the Joint Marine Laboratories Program that was funded by the DSI for a 5-year pilot phase? What is expected to be the outcome of this pilot phase, and what is the provincial footprint of the program? And then also with regard to the PhD bursaries allocated, I see that The provincial breakdown has been 7,253 that was awarded by the DSI as of the 30th of June. Now, what is the availability of supervisors for the PhD students in the field of science and innovation? Because I think it also takes proper and quality supervisors to see to it that programs like these are successful. Because in essence, we've only reached about 5,000 of these PhDs. And could this be because of a lack of availability of supervisors? Then with regard to the DSI internship program, can the department give us an update on the provincial footprint and how it prepares undergraduate and postgraduate students for the workplace? Then I've noticed on the annual report on page 136, it states there that due to precautionary suspensions from the 1st of April 2021 to 31st of March 2022, that the total number of persons working days lost was 519, and that the total cost of working days lost in monetary terms was over $1 million. Now, it seems that none of that money has been recovered. What has the DSI done to reduce the impact on its capacity to meet its mandate? And then, has this scenario been rectified? And if not, what is the department doing in attending to approach these kind of losses? And then, with regard to BBBE, now the DSI has received a final BBBE scorecard from the service provider appointment to conduct BBBE assessments for 3 years to address the non-compliance finding. And has that, has the service provider that has been appointed, have you received that final scorecard from that particular service provider? I think that's very worrying that that is so outstanding. Then in program 3, international cooperation and resources, the DSI has stated that there has been underperformance there and the number of capacity building initiatives for international cooperation, specifically targeting historically disadvantaged institutions. This was on page 83. Can the department elaborate a little bit on that underperformance on program 3, specifically on international cooperation and resources? Thank you very much, Chairperson.
The next will be Honorable Baha.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, and good morning to all the members and the department. Chairperson, I only have two questions. One, the strategic plan 2020-2025 notes the feasibility of an independent departmental model for establishing and managing science centers, which will be tested over the next 5-year period. The test case will be in Albertina Sisulu Science Center in Kofimvaba in the Eastern Cape, which is a partnership initiative involving the DSI, the Eastern Cape Department of Education, and Insigayethu Local Municipality. Now, my question are, can you kindly elaborate on the achievements and challenges of the Science Center? Secondly, what are the lessons that have been learned, and how are such impacting on the future of these or similar initiatives or programs? The second question, Chairperson, the presentation to this committee on slide 15 stated the introduction of industry-based qualifications, which will incentivize investment by private sector in skills development. Can you provide case study examples of how this has been realized and gained continued support from the industry? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Baha. Honorable Dongeni.
Thank you, Chair. Morning, colleagues. Morning, DM, again. My question is on page 105 of the annual report. The department disposed of 5 vehicles that were old and no longer economical to maintain. The department plans to procure 7 additional vehicles for messenger service to replace the one disposal of. And the department is utilizing courier service being considered as an alternative to the expenses linked to the purchasing vehicles. Is the department aiming to become a paperless institution taking full advantage of technological and advancements? The last one, Chair, on page 272 of the annual report, note contingent assets. The department claim on the amount of 3491786 against Chrisma Brendan Kemp, I'm sorry to spell it wrong, for damaging suffered. The department is uncertain given the amount that has been claimed by Ms. Brendan Kemp. Furthermore, the whereabouts of Ms. Brendan Kemp is unknown. What has the department done to reduce the impact of the damage suffered? Has the cause of this scenario been rectified? Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Nkosi, that's your turn.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Greetings to your good self and my colleagues and the department. Honorable Chair, one must thank the informative presentation made by the department. It shows that indeed there's progress. But I must first, starting by joining you, Chair, by extending our condolences to the family of our late Honorable Gillian for passing on, and even to the colleagues who worked very well with our Honorable Member. We want to say to the family the passing on of our member, it's our passing on as our member also, because we worked very well with her, and we are feeling great, and as this committee will continue where she left. Thank you very much, Chair. And one Chair must also applaud the department for the audit outcome that has obtained, the clean audit outcome. It shows that they are moving towards the right direction. And we are also taking note that the entities as well, they've obtained unqualified, 8 of them. Only one who obtained a qualified, of which they are going to make sure that they assist them to move towards the direction that they are now. Another thing, Chair, I want to indicate that as I was listening to the presentation, there are critical posts that are not filled by the department. Yes, indeed, they indicated that there are a lot of posts that or positions that are filled in this department, but there are those that are not. And as a result, some of the sections of their department are not performing well because of that. And we are appealing that they must make sure that they prioritize those that are left, making sure that are filled. Lastly, Chair, I want to indicate or to raise my grave concern that the department, I want us to assist, because a week ago, I read an article in the City Press newspaper speaking about the provinces, especially the Eastern Cape and Mpumalanga, who failed to spend their grants. And as a result, the department has taken a decision to take that money and relocate it to other provinces. I'm not too sure whether it's the right thing to do, because the provinces need this money. But I want to check with the department as to say, what is it that they are doing, especially the consequence management?
in making sure that this is not happening again, because we cannot afford a situation whereby provinces are not spending their infrastructure grants, yet there's a huge backlog in our provinces in terms of improving the infrastructure of the schools and improving the school infrastructure. I think we need to check, because they do sit with the MECs in their minimum. What is it that they are saying, or what is it that they are doing? We want to see the consequence management happening, because we can't afford that. There's a huge backlog that we are experiencing in these provinces in terms of the infrastructure. So if the money is taken out from Eastern Cape or Mpumalanga and relocated to Gauteng, what is it that is going to happen to those provinces? I think even though they do that, but there's something that must be done, because we cannot allow that to happen. Thank you very much, Chair. I submit.
Thanks, Honorable Nkosi. Is there another hand? Yeah, now let me... it's just that DM, there are lots of things, but some of them will be raised when we meet actually discussing higher education, the question of admittance of students at universities. There's a crisis and SPAS and others, but that will be for another day, DM. Let me give over to the department to respond to the questions. Over to you.
Thank you. let me just start, XDG, and I'll hand over to you to respond to the rest of the questions. I think for me, there's the question about our collaboration with health and also our collaboration with energy, public enterprise and the Ministry of Electricity in terms of energy security and what our contribution there is. We've been working quite closely with the Department of Health in many levels, and I think if the chair would and members would recall when the was the COVID outbreak, we were quite instrumental in the manufacturing of the procurement and or manufacturing of vaccine through various state companies and in collaboration with health and also in collaboration with other countries within the continent. And not only with manufacturing, but also with distribution throughout the continent. But vaccine sovereignty was almost guaranteed by, our investments in companies such as BioVac, and of course, working together with the Department of Health and with all other entities within the health sphere, I think this was even hailed as the World Health Organization. By the World Health Organization, as one of the most important intervention by South Africa into the continent in ensuring that there's vaccine sovereignty, throughout. But of course, we do, through our various entities, through research and development, and various innovation, science and innovation initiatives, wherein there are interventions in the health sector. So this collaboration is quite important, because what it means is that if I go back to the production of vaccine, it wasn't only vaccines that were meant to deal with COVID-19. It was building capacity for vaccines such as malaria, such as yellow fever, and a whole range of other communicable diseases that are preventable. So I think the chair is right by also raising it with the Department of Health, and I think this collaboration is hailed, and it's one of the things that we really are encouraging between the two departments. And then with regards to the work on energy security, yes, government's plan is multi-pronged. It's about how we secure energy in the immediate, which has to do with, the capacity of our existing substations, the maintenance of those substations so that they guarantee, but also, increasing the energy availability factor, in terms of the existing, power stations, so that they consistently supply to the grid. So those are, both in terms of the immediate and long term, using coal, to ensure that there is energy sustainability in the immediate and long term. But there are also interventions that are, both in public and private sector initiatives in the independent power production. We have been quite instrumental historically as the Department of Sciences and Innovation as it relates to, building capacity in terms of solar and wind energy. Has been extensive research and innovation and development that we've been involved in this regard. Currently, I think our flagship program is the Hydrogen South Africa Roadmap, which was a 15-year program that was launched by government, that program is winding up this year. And I think, work obviously has to be done in identifying the next, the next regime as it relates to what South Africa's plan is in terms of hydrogen energy. As it is now, there are various projects that we're showcasing, and I think members would know the scooter project that we did in collaboration with the post office. Unfortunately, the post office didn't have money for that project to be sustainably run. But over and above that, there's work done with the transport industry wherein there are trucks that are, powered by hydrogen energy. There are innovations within the mining sector, and I think in the platinum belt in Limpopo, some of the mining technology, and we've been working with Minerals and Energy and various other government entities in this regard, where mining technology has been improved, in terms of the kind of, hydrogen energy. And so we think that, of course, there's still, it's still a long way, 10, 15 to 20 years projections in terms of energy security provided for by hydrogen power, and even then, there's still highly dependence on grey, and pink hydrogen in terms of power generation. But the idea is for us to move towards green hydrogen, and we can only do that, if we strengthen our capacity in terms of IPPs, if we strengthen our capacity in terms of hydrogen production, investment in electrolysis, and all of those. So we basically not only are working with these three departments as it relates to research and development, as it relates to supporting initiatives around independent power production, but we're also looking into the future as it relates to, hydrogen energy, green hydrogen in particular, in the continent. And I think the chair is right. How do we ensure that we secure our mineral resources, that we would require in terms of the, hydrogen energy security, not only we have all the minerals just as Zimbabwe does, platinum, for instance, which is quite crucial, in the overall production of the hydrogen energy, of lithium batteries and all of that. So these are probably important policy considerations that we may have to make. But just as in coal, chair, we even when we have a bigger demand in terms of coal locally, but because the international, the global demand for coal and therefore the prices have increased, I think now they averaging around $2,000 or even more per ton. So that means that you've got to do that balance between the local demand, and also the demand for foreign currency, and the same applies with the platinum group of metals, whose prices have been consistently up for quite enough years. So all of those policy consideration means that we'll have to look at what is our interest locally. And I think our immediate interest locally is obviously energy security. So we are working with, the two departments that have been existing. And I suppose, we will inevitably have to work with the Minister of Electricity as it relates to some of the future initiatives, particularly as it relates to IPPs and as it relates to hydrogen energy. And I think it may help, Chairperson, in the future meetings that we probably invite the department to come and make a presentation on some of the initiatives that we're doing specifically in terms of energy security and what the role of the Department of Science and Innovation has been, and what essentially is this Hydrogen South Africa roadmap, and what how will it help with energy security, and how will it help in contribution towards the economy, the demand for skills, and what the Department of Higher Education and Training, our sister department, has been doing in that regard, but also the potential jobs and also the potential that lies for small macro and micro enterprises has been. So I think that presentation would be quite crucial at the convenience of the committee, of course. But this is one thing that we've invested our energy as a department into, what our contribution would be in terms of energy production. And these are just but two, there are many, but these are just but two that I wanted to highlight based on the questions that have been asked. The last question, Chair, that I want to respond to before I hand over to the acting DG. We, have various programs, and I think beyond the work that the DSI is doing, we have various programs of collaboration with, through the Department of Higher Education and Training, the new generation of academic programs and GAP, whose intention is to provide support for, master's, PhD and postdoctoral students. And this collaboration has mainly been with various universities in the United States. A lot of money has been invested into this. And the intention is to support, supervisors, to provide supervisors, in a whole range of areas, and those areas include the area around, science and technology. But beyond that, the National Research Fund has been very central, you know, in ensuring that with whatever grants that it provides in terms of, you know, master's, doctoral and postdoctoral programs. One of the things that has been, you know, crucial has been collaboration with, so beyond the capacity that we're building in the country in terms of supervisory, but also collaboration with academics throughout the continent and globally in areas of science and technology. And I think we've seen a huge response. You know, if we look at the report from the National Research Fund, a huge response, particularly from the continent, in wanting to contribute and collaborate with South African academics and future academics, you know, in the work of science and innovation. So I think the that question that the Honourable Member has raised is important. You know, but finally, Chair, I want to join you and members of the Portfolio Committee, I mean, Select Committee, sorry, my apologies, members of the Select Committee in extending our condolences to the family of Honourable Gillian. I think we, you know, all have worked quite well with her, and her contribution in this Select Committee has been quite immense, and we'll dearly miss her. So we will, you know, extend officially, even outside of the meeting. I was, unfortunately, you know, I don't know how I missed that. I think it's an oversight on my part, but we will extend the condolences after this meeting to the family and friends of Honourable Gillian. But thank you so much. Let me hand over to the acting DG, Ms. Zwane, to respond to the rest of the other questions by members.
Okay.
No.
Thanks,
DM. You're already giving us hope that yeah, the solutions to our problems are within our reach. Thank you. Yeah, DG.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Deputy Minister. I will then ask the DDGs to respond to the areas where it is relevant to their to respond to questions relevant to their areas or to their programs, and also the CFO, and I will then close with responding to the question raised by Chair in terms of the decadal plan. So I would like to start with DDG to respond to the areas relevant to your portfolio, and I would then ask DDG Patel to respond and then hand over to DDG Dutoy on the ICR question and then to CFO, and where there are gaps, probably also ask Mr. Durham to add in terms of program two issues. Over to you, DDG Mboneni. Thanks.
We can't hear you.
Is not audible. Mboneni, you are not mute, but we can't hear you.
I think we can ask somebody else, Acting DG, to respond, and then
okay.
he will come back. Yeah.
Let's okay. Can I hand it over to you now, Imran? Thank you.
Yes. Good morning. Can everyone hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, we do, Imran.
Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, Honourable Deputy Minister. My DSI colleagues, I've looked at the areas that apply to Program 4. This is a program that I took responsibility for in the current financial year. So I wasn't the substantive DDG in the period under review, but I know some of the areas of work. There are three that I particularly want to talk to, and hopefully those would cover it. If there are gaps, then I can be alerted to that and respond. So the first was the question around the joint marine laboratory pilots. This project is managed by the NRF, And it's in its early days. I think it's in its second year of implementation. And it's targeted at building capabilities in at the historically disadvantaged universities who have we have marine science areas of work. The details on this project in terms of where exactly we are, I don't have that kind of detail. We can always provide that. We can always secure that from the NRF and share that with the community. The second question was about the PhDs and whether supervision is a problem. I think the answer is not as clear cut. It depends very much on a whole range of factors, including area of study, et cetera. We continuously together with the NRF, but mainly through the NRF, who are responsible for providing the largest number of, providing the bulk of the PhDs bursaries to PhDs, they monitor these kinds of developments. So supervision is a problem in some areas, maybe in some of the more areas where we don't have deep capabilities, say for example in some ICT areas, etc. But in other areas, for example, in the marine space, which came up earlier, we have fairly strong marine capabilities on nuclear maths and astronomy. So the question is not, there's no one-size-fits-all issue around what's preventing us from generating more PhDs. We also did some work with ISTEP, this is a unit within the University of Stellenbosch that looks at human capital development for the system and things like scientometric studies, etc. We just completed a current one, which we busy processing around the basic sciences. And they've identified that in certain areas, that there's a lack of PhDs, but that's not necessarily a problem. Because those fields move so fast, for example, in ICT as an example, that at this stage of our development and in terms of what our priorities are, it may not necessarily be a problem. So in summary, what we're trying to do with the PhDs in the context of our decadal plan is to be a lot more purposeful about the development of PhDs in particular areas. The areas that have been identified in the decadal plan, whether it's health or whether it's energy, et cetera, the responsible teams within DSI and our entities for that are working with my program, the program I'm responsible for, to unpack very specifically in much more detail exactly what is it that we require. And in that context, we will look at what will prevent us from getting that, to that number. And it will differ from one area to another. The number of PhDs we support, the number of PhDs as compared to masters, etc. So we're moving to a lot more targeted strategy. And the science centers, there are a number of science centers in the country. The one that was specifically referenced in the decadal plan was the Kumbhava Science Center, which took many years to come to fruition because we were trying a different model for implementing that science center. And that model was about really working much more closely with the provincial education department, et cetera, to agree upfront in terms of things like the availability of land. We were able to provide the funding for the base infrastructure to put it up, but where there's ongoing maintenance or where there's staff that's required to service the science center, then it needs to be funded elsewhere, etc. So the science center, from what I'm told, we haven't done I haven't been able to get a recent indication. The team member responsible for this will be able to easily do this because he visits and engages with all of the science centers that we provide support to about how well it's functioning. The sense I get is that it has been significant in terms of, particularly in that area, attracting young people. It's just opposite the high school. And so there's a lot of, and it's in the city center, near transport routes, etc. So it was designed purposefully to have a lot of traffic that can come into the farm center. But again, Honorable Chair, we have specific issues about, say, in the last year, you know, how many people have visited the science center. Those are the kinds of statistics that we do ask. Request the science center to collect and to provide to us, but I don't have it on my person. So Google, I hope I've addressed what I picked up to be the questions that apply to program 4.
Okay, no, thanks, DDG. Mboneli is back online. Over to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Acting DG. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
You are loud and clear.
Thanks very much. I didn't pick up any question that relates to Program 5, which I'm currently responsible for. However, we have agreed with the Acting DG that I will address questions that relate to Program 2 because the presentation today is for the period during which I was DDG for Program 2. So just starting on the issue that I think the DM has extensively explained on the issue of the partnership with the Department of Health, the research in the health area is directed by the prioritization of what we call the priority diseases, which is actually led by the Department of Health. And on the basis of that priority, we therefore, in certain instances, work together to develop a research program. So there is a lot of alignment in that regard. So which is really why, even as we develop various vaccines and drug manufacturing technologies, the establishment of those research programs are done jointly. What we have also incorporated beyond just research is also capacitation of the regulatory body, which is SAHPRA. And this is really going back, for example, to the days of COVID, where a lot of extraordinary measures had to be taken in order to facilitate and to fast track the approval of vaccines, diagnostics, and related medications. And the same goes, obviously, with the Department of Energy in the sense that we have managed as the department releases their strategic projections of what energy mixes will have in future. We have been able to make input, for example, where you can see the aspect of fuel energies fuel cells have now been incorporated into what the future will look like in terms of energy. I want to lastly address the question around the how we deal with strategic minerals. And a reference having been made with Zimbabwe insofar as the energy storage industry is concerned. And I do think that, yes, there are strategic decisions that need to be made. And these need to be made at regional level, for example, at SADC level. Because when one looks at the minerals that are used in energy storage, you can basically argue that they are all in the SADC region, whether you talk about cobalt in the DRC, whether you talk about lithium in Zimbabwe, manganese in South Africa, and so on and so forth. So my own thinking is that we need as a bloc to reach that coordinated approach on how we respond in dealing with strategic minerals, because if we are dividing our action, we will not probably achieve much. And my view is that we can move to a point where, much as we've got the OPEC dealing with oil and so forth, we can actually begin to look at the SADC region having some kind of a strategic pact dealing with matters of energy storage. And lastly, I think the decision by Zimbabwe doesn't necessarily solve their current energy crisis, which, by the way, is actually worse than ours. So they there's no, as far as I'm aware, chance of them being out of load shedding anytime sooner. The issue of beneficiation of lithium is a long program. In South Africa, we've already started with years now of looking at beneficiation of manganese, which is one of the important components in the newer technologies of energy storage. And it probably just take a lot of investment in R&D to be able to achieve the kind of level that would be necessary. So that's why I'm saying it probably would need maybe some kind of a regional bloc engagement and pact where we say we are going to protect our strategic resources, and this is how we plan to do that. I think that's probably the questions that I would have addressed in terms of energy and in terms of vaccines. If I've left anything, Google, you let me know, but I think it does respond to those questions. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Can I then ask Vinnie to address the international relations questions? Thank you.
Thank you, Acting DG. Good morning, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, Honourable Deputy Minister and colleagues. There was a specific question around the capacity building initiatives for international cooperation, targeting our historically disadvantaged institutions and individuals. I think part of our response has been a more strategic, systemic response in the current financial year or the new financial year. Some of the interventions we have put in place is around when we have a call for proposals for international collaboration, we are specifically now in the call requesting that preference is given to HDIs in the research calls in terms of funding. So where the DSI is funding international collaboration across our bilateral partnerships in Africa and in Europe and abroad, even in BRICS, where we are very active, we are doing that. The other issue that we're looking at is developing more information sessions. So, for example, within the European Union, we have, South Africa is eligible to participate in Horizon Europe in that financial year, Horizon 2020. So we also need to build the system. So we're increasing information sessions with these institutions across the country to provide information about how to access the funding, what are the kind of key links and support we provide. In this program, for instance, we've also launched something called the National Contact Points, which are dedicated officials targeting the strategic areas, for example, under Horizon Europe, which is the EU program, which also then links our researchers with their international counterparts. The other area that we're looking at quite closely, internationalization of science is very important. So we also want to create opportunities for participation of our researchers internationally. So whether it's at thematic key conference areas with our international partners, or whether it's around promoting SMEs, linking up with matchmaking events with other SMEs globally, we're also using the opportunity to target our HDIs in this initiative. For example, we've had in the last year, there was something which is very similar to our Science Forum South Africa. It's called the Euro Science Forum, which is a European-based forum. So in that, we have posted a call for where we fund participation of young researchers, HDIs, women researchers. So I think, Chair, there is a systemic set of interventions that will help us achieve these targets, but I think we are putting the building blocks in place. Thanks. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, I think, DG.
Thank you, Vinnie. Can I hand over to Robert now on the questions relating to finances?
Finance. No, thanks, DG, and Thanks, members, for the comments. Firstly, let me start with the progress on resolving irregular expenditures that we have. As we have indicated, we had challenges with the manner in which Treasury was handling this. We made applications several times on similar matters. But now they came up with a new framework, as I've indicated. Last year, around December, November, they sent us letters to say we can write off irregular expenditures amounting to 5 million on the 7.8 that we have disclosed. However, they said we need to wait. They wanted to issue an instruction note, which they issued, but they took long for them to do that. We had a meeting with them last week explaining some of the elements of the instruction note, you know, on how we can apply those. So we are in the process of writing off or removing 5 million from our financials as guided by them. And then with regard to the triple BEE, we did indicate during the presentation that the service provider appointed managed to give us a certificate, the scorecard. And the scorecard was sent to the triple BEE commission as required. So we will be having the service providers with us as honorable members indicated for the next 3 years. They will be, because the certificate, you need to have a new certificate every year. So they will be doing the assessment every year for the next 3 years for us to be able to comply with the requirement of the triple BEE. And with regard to CRISTA, we did indicate that we are not sure whether we'll get the money. The reason being, the state attorney instructed the sheriff to submit the documents to CRISTA, our claim. But GLEMA couldn't at that time be located. I think the sheriff went several times, if it's not two, I think 3 times. They couldn't locate CRISTA. So our uncertainty was around the fact that CRISTA could not be located. Then we were not sure whether we'll be able to get that money. But we sat down because the question was also raised by the portfolio committee to say we need to do anything possible. We had a meeting with state attorney on how we can deal with this matter. And during our discussion, we said if CRISTA is not indicated in any points of entry, as having left the country, she's still in the country and they must do anything possible to locate her whereabouts. CRISTA was located and we instructed the state attorney to issue those summons to her. So we are still waiting for the state attorney to give us feedback with regard to that. But we have located CRISTA. We'll see what happens after the state attorney went to her. And then another issue was around the reallocation of funds. Honorable member, I wanted to know what will happen from one province if the money is allocated to another. Maybe to clarify, we don't allocate funds into provinces. We deal with our entities and other implementing agents like universities and other science agencies. What we do is that our agencies are not spending, we don't make additional funding to them. They are not spending because by that time when we do assessment, they will be having significant amount of money in their budgets. They wouldn't be needing the money that we are saying we are not going to transfer. So us not transferring to them won't have any detrimental effect in the entities doing their work or implementing some of the work that the department had asked them to do. So that money, we are saying it will be better used elsewhere where it is needed. So if we are reallocating this funding, there is no impact to the entities that we cannot manage. Okay, with regard to the disposal of vehicles, we did dispose 5 vehicles in the year under review, and we bought 7 other vehicles. The reason we bought 7 was because we knew that there are other vehicles that will be disposing in the subsequent year. So we bought more vehicles than ones we have disposed. We are going to dispose, we have disposed other vehicles this year. To cover that, we had to buy more so that we don't have to wait at the procurement process for us to, whereas we know that we are going to dispose more vehicles. So we bought those vehicles just to cover the ones that we'll be disposing this year and the ones that we have disposed in the year under review. With regard to when we dispose those vehicles, yes, because we didn't have enough vehicles by that time, we had to resort to courier services to some of the work that we are doing, for us to help us to ensure that the work is not suffering because we have disposed vehicles. I'm not sure, PPC, if I've answered all the questions that relate to ourselves. Thanks, PPC.
Thanks, Robert. You did. Can I then request that DDG Imran comes back to deal with the DDM question that came up? Thank you.
Thanks, Gugu. I think a number of members asked questions around the DDM. The DSI has kind of fully integrated its work into the DDM. A lot more progress has happened in the last financial year. The financial year that we were reporting is a year and a half, a year back. In the last year, we did a couple of things. One is we developed a framework that I